the church need to edify each other. And one way we can do that is by rehearsing our victories and sharing those victories with others. When we look back and see victories, we can then believe more victories are in our future. If we only concentrate on our losses, we're headed for defeat. Join us in finding victories in the Bible and share yours with us on our website, themessengersradio.com. So rejoice and thank God for all your successes.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marcus.
And Trisha.
And we are...
The Messengers.
Yes, we are.
We still are the Messengers after all this time.
After all this time. It's been over a year. It's been almost 2 years.
Over 2 years.
Yeah. Woo-woo.
We're still here. You're not getting rid of us.
And we're still going forward. Teaching others to teach others is our motto.
That's right.
And we're excited about that.
We are.
So we hope today's episode will be as encouraging to you. It's probably not going to be as long as some of our other ones, but we really believe we wanted to do this because we felt like this is an important topic.
Yes, it is.
That many people just kind of tend to put at the wayside and don't really get excited about or don't really think about.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you intro it.
All right. Well, now that you've got them all hyped up, we're talking about rehearsing your victories.
Exactly.
And that is going back and remembering the victories you've had in your lives, the good things that have happened. So when you come to those trials and storms and things like that, you can say, hey, I made it through this. I can make it through anything.
Exactly.
You know you have God with you all the time.
Right.
That's what the point is you have God and you can remember the victory that he's already brought you through. And so you can know that he's with you to get you through this next victory.
And he's with you not only through victory to victory, but he's with you always.
He's with you.
When you're awake, when you're asleep, when you're at work, when you're at home, when you're at play, when you're doing whatever you're doing.
That's
he
right.
is with you always.
That's right. Even if you're an unbeliever right now, he is still there. He's still watching over you. He's still seeing everything you're doing. He still loves you
absolutely.
So much. But when you invite him into your heart, he lives in you. He's always
right.
with you.
And that's one thing you have to understand is there is only one thing that keeps you out of heaven, and that is the rejection of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
That's right.
You know, God set it up that way. He doesn't send people to hell. He doesn't make decisions for people. It's up to us to make the decisions for ourselves. And not only that, but it's up to us to go out and heal the sick.
That's
it's
right.
not up to us to pray and ask God, oh, heal this person. Oh, let this person, Father, please help this person become a believer or anything like that. It's our responsibility. And it's really been neat because this week during my drive in and from work, I've been listening to a teaching by Andrew Womack called The Believer's Authority.
Right.
And man, it's been really, really good. And it really opens up the fact that, you know, it is on us because God's done everything he's ever going to do.
Right.
But he uses people.
Sorry, when he was on the cross, he healed everybody for all time.
Right.
So we don't need to beg him, heal this person, please, please heal this person.
Right.
It's already done.
Isaiah 53:5 and 2 Peter 2:24. It says
1 Peter 2:24,
sorry. It says, by the stripes Jesus bore, you were healed.
Right.
So it's past tense.
It's already done. But like you said, we need to go take the authority and let these people know,
right.
Hey, you're healed. You know, Jesus already healed you.
Right.
You don't have to sit there and beg him, heal me, heal me.
And then you get this bold spirit on you.
That's
and
right.
you take authority over that sickness and you cast it out in Jesus' name and you say it has no right in that body. And
right.
You know, it's just amazing when you start seeing miracles happen. We've both seen miracles happen.
Oh,
I've seen miracles happen while I was in Haiti on a mission trip. I've seen a miracle happen while I was here in the States praying for people. You know, wherever you go, we should remember that these are the feet that Jesus, we're the feet and the hands of Jesus.
That's right.
So we need to be going out and doing the work that God has told us to do.
Mm-hmm.
So get a little off. I think we went off a little rabbit trail, but I thought that was important to say.
Yeah, it's true, but that's part of rehearsing your victories too.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've had miracles in our lives.
My
goodness,
I've
had a lot of miracles with my health and things like that. Right. And I can look back and say, hey, I overcame that sickness because Jesus took my, bore that sickness on the cross. I can overcome this little cold, you know, things like that. Or even if it's a big thing, I overcame that little thing, I can overcome this big thing.
Right.
And so it's rehearsing those victories and remembering
right.
what happened and where you came from.
Absolutely.
So we as the church today are to edify each other. And in order to do that, we need to remember who we are and the victories we have already celebrated in order to give us the confidence to fuel others on. So it's like you need to remember your victories and rehearse your victories, but you need to tell others about your victories.
Absolutely.
Because
go ahead.
Your victories can help someone else overcome their struggles
Absolutely.
And problems.
One of the things that we did at our church is we have a bulletin board and we put up a sign that said, what is it, the Father's House Victories.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been handing out these little note cards, these blank note cards, mm-hmm. and have been encouraging people to write down their victories and post it up on the bulletin board. Mm-hmm. And we've got several up there now. But
yeah.
it's amazing just to be able to go over there and read some of those victories, financial
right.
breakthroughs,
mm-hmm.
Healings of sickness. You know, you start going through all these different things, and my goodness, it's encouraging. And when
yeah.
somebody goes over there that's going through something and they can see that somebody else has made it through that,
yeah.
then they can think, you know, if they made it through it, man, I can make it through this too.
Yes.
And they can go to that person and say, how did you overcome this? What did
mm-hmm.
you do? And they can start sharing scriptures. They can start sharing the things that they stood on.
Yeah.
They can start sharing how they took authority over those things and they cast them out in Jesus' name and said, you
right.
have no right in my body.
Right.
You have no right in this person's body. And we can take authority over other people's bodies that are believers
mm-hmm.
and non-believers. But
yeah.
we can take the authority that Jesus has given us and cast sickness out of people. That's what Jesus told us to do. So I'm getting riled up. That's right.
But that's good. You just need to remember that people have to listen. So you got to slow down a little.
Right.
Bit.
Right.
We got to absorb your words.
We'll slow that down later.
But remembering who we are and where we have come from makes a huge difference in where we see ourselves going.
Yes.
So if you just look back and see all the negative things, then you're not going to see the good things in store for your future.
Right.
But if you look back and think, I do this a lot, if I think, you know, I overcame that, I must have a pretty good purpose coming up in my future. If I can overcome this, then something good is God has something really good planned
right.
for me.
Yep.
So, and one thing that I have really, in the past year or so, really, really gotten hold of is that I'm not afraid of anything happening to me because I know that God has big plans for my future and I'm not ready to go yet. So it's kind of like what Paul was saying. I don't remember where it is, but he says to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Right.
So if I do die, hey, I'm going to heaven. I get to see Jesus. I don't have to have all these things weighing me down or thinking about things. But if I am supposed to be on here on earth to help others. So
right.
So I don't worry about dying or about anything bad happening to me because I know whatever it is, that it will prosper in the end because God wants me to prosper.
Amen.
Amen.
So that was actually Philippians 1:21, and he was talking about he was telling people he would rather be with Jesus.
Yeah.
But it was for him. Right now was for him, it was better for him to stay and preach to them
yeah.
and be a witness to them. But he said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. That was he was talking about is when you die, you go before Jesus. And that's one of the best places for us to be.
Oh, gosh.
You know, it's important that we as Christians understand that we are going to die.
Yes.
But when we die, that's this earth suit we're in is just the beginning.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning.
Yeah.
And our real lives begin once we pass from this body and our spirit is released and goes before Jesus. Man, oh, it's going to be so, so exciting. Awesome.
So exciting. All right. So there's an article that we are going to have Marcus read. Because yes. He found it one time when we were talking about rehearsing your victories. And
absolutely.
What is the name of this article?
It's called Rehearse the Victories.
Wow.
And I got this actually off of guideposts.org. And it was written by Michelle Metlock Adams on September, and it was posted September 3rd, 2014. So when I read this, though, I really got excited because it was exactly what we were talking about.
Yeah.
So it starts off, it says, some years ago, evangelist Clyde Dupin was coming to our town, and I was asked to do publicity for the important event. In the middle of writing lots of articles about the upcoming crusade, I received a phone call from a worldwide ministry in Texas, where everything's bigger. That's where we're from, Texas.
That's right.
The media director wanted to interview me in person for a full-time feature writing position. I'd been waiting for that opportunity for a long time. The problem was, I didn't have the extra money for an airline ticket. The ministry had agreed to pay for my transportation and lodging while I was in town, but I would be responsible for paying for my own airfare. I felt in my heart that it was more than a good opportunity. It was a God opportunity, and I didn't want to miss out on it. Yet we simply didn't have the extra money at the time. The cheapest ticket I could find was $290 round trip. I knew I could ask my parents for the money, but I didn't want to burden them. I figured that if God wanted me to go, He would provide the needed funds. So I stood in faith that the extra money would come in. And here's the bold part. She said, I let the media director know I would be there for my interview and would forward my flight details when I had them.
That's awesome.
And then I prayed that God would make a way. So she, I'm going to kind of pause right here. She wound up saying, you know what? This is something that I really want to do. This is something that I really feel like God wants me to do. God's going to make the way. So I'm going to make pre-plans.
That's right.
I'm going to tell them I will be there. And that is bold.
That is bold faith.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, so the article continues on and says, the following week, as I was getting ready to attend the first meeting of Clyde Dupin's crusade, a man who worked with that ministry team handed me an envelope. I thought it was another press release they wanted me to edit and submit to our local media, but it was so much more. I opened the envelope and found three $100 bills inside. I looked up at him in tears with my eyes and started to ask several questions, but he stopped me. Just receive it, he said. The person who asked me to give this to you said that God had awakened her in the middle of the night and told her to give you $300. She didn't know why, but God assured her that you would know just what the money was for. So take it and be blessed.
That's awesome.
And then she goes on and says, I am rarely speechless, but I was that night. I had trusted God, and He had provided. I bought my airline ticket, flew to Texas, and guess what? Got the job.
Yay!
Since that financial miracle in my life, I've never had trouble standing and believing for our financial needs. I just rehearsed the previous victories, reminded myself of God's faithfulness, and my worries leave and peace replaces them.
Amen.
And this is a biblical principle. Remember the story of David and Goliath? David rehearsed his victories. Before David ever took on Goliath, he had the track record of victory. The Lord had already helped him conquer the lion and the bear while tending his father's sheep. So when he came up against the giant, David had no doubt of his victory.
That's right.
Others looked at the giant and said, he's too big to defeat. But David looked at him and said, are you kidding me? That giant's too big to miss.
That's good.
It works the same way in our daily lives. Rehearse your past victories and praise God for the upcoming ones. And while you wait in anticipation of doing the victory dance, stand on the word of God and never yield to the circumstances. We serve a mighty God, so be encouraged today. Rehearse those past victories and stand strong as you wait for that next breakthrough. the next answer, that next miracle, look at the obstacles, no matter how big it seems, and say, like David, that's not too big for my God. That's too big to miss.
Amen. That was really good.
That's a great article. So yeah. I hope that's just an encouraging word for you about rehearsing your past victories and looking forward to your future victories.
That's right.
And sharing your victories.
Yes,
that is important.
It is important to, like we said, to share with others. And when you do share with others, it not only builds your faith more and more and more, it builds them up too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It builds their faith. And like with Marcus and I, it gets us all excited.
I do the victory dance sometimes even before.
Ooh, yeah.
Because I'm anticipating.
So let's go back to what she said. David with the lion and the bear is
right.
In 1 Samuel 17, 34 through 37.
Right.
And that's where he's telling Saul, Saul's like, you can't go fight that giant. You're just a kid. And he's like, you know, listen here. This is what I've already done. I've already had this victory. I killed this lion. I killed this bear because they took a sheep. A sheep. You know, mm-hmm. That doesn't seem as important to us, but those sheep were so important to him that he did that. And if those sheep were that important to him, can you imagine how Goliath was even more important because he was cursing God?
Right.
If he's willing to do it for the little one and have that victory, then he knew he would have the victory with the big one.
Amen. Absolutely.
I just love that. So another thing with David that we thought of was with Goliath's head. It says
right.
that David cut off Goliath's head after he killed him. And what he did in 1 Samuel 17:54, it says, David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem. He put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent.
Right.
So he took his head and it says he went through the streets.
He paraded it
of
through
Jerusalem.
The streets.
Yeah. Saying, look, this is what happens when you defy the God of Israel.
Right.
And so he was proud of that victory.
Right.
He said he was showing everyone, look, all of Israel, God has given this victory to us.
Right.
So he wasn't saying, look what I did, look what I did. He was
right.
saying, look what God did, look what God has done for us.
Right. And not only did he kill Goliath, but he took off after the Philistines with the rest of Israel because
yeah.
since Goliath was dead, the rest of the warriors were like, "Hey, he's dead. We can take the Philistines out." And they
yeah.
hunt them all down.
Yeah,
took them all out, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yep. And that's and there's another part of the story that you can read in the Bible where Saul gets upset with David because they're singing songs that Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And
that's right.
That just gets under his skin.
Yeah. There's a lot that gets under Saul's skin.
Right.
Actually.
Right.
But, okay, so let's move on to another example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there's so many examples with these guys that we've used recently, but the one we want to look at is in Daniel 3, 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up.
Right.
So the backstory is that King Nebuchadnezzar was so proud of himself that he made this statue. Was it 90 feet high?
I can't remember how many cubits.
It was huge. Yeah. And it was all gold.
Right.
And so he said, everyone will worship. Everyone will bow down. When you hear the sound of this music, everyone will stop and bow down and worship this image of gold.
This image of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were from Israel. They
right.
were, Israel had been captured and taken to Babylon, and that's where this happened. But those three, along with Daniel, they were taken to be mighty warriors for King Nebuchadnezzar. There were several men, young men throughout all the provinces, and these four just happened to be from Israel. Well, they asked the person they were supposed to eat at the king's table and have all this good food and wine and things like that. But they said, no, let us have our vegetables and water, what our bodies are used to, and that's how they kept themselves pure for God. That's
right. What they did. And they told them, let us do it for 10 days and see the difference in us.
Yeah. At the end of all the time, they went to King Nebuchadnezzar, and they were 10 times better than everyone else. So they had stuck to their beliefs to keep true to God.
Right.
And he elevated them to a high status.
Right.
The King Nebuchadnezzar put them in charge of providences.
Right. And they were actually given the ability to learn faster, to be stronger, all this stuff, because they stuck with what God told them to do.
So they had that victory before any of this happened.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew that they could trust in God, and they had already come through that victory. So they had the belief and the faith to go through this one. They knew. They said, our God will deliver us. He can deliver us from this. But even if he doesn't, we are not bowing down to you. You know, they were staying true to God no matter what happened.
Right.
They just knew they weren't going to bow down and God was going to take care of them.
Right.
So I think they kind of figured, like we talked about today, even if they were burned and they died, they'd get to go, you know, be with God. So what, you know, it's like, what can mere man do to me?
Well, just like what Paul said, you know, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain.
That's right.
For them, to die would be a gain also.
Yeah.
You know?
So.
Many years before he'd even say that.
Yes. So that was kind of something that we thought of previous victories helped in that past victory. And most of us know the story that they were thrown into the furnace. And when the king looked in there, he saw four men in there, and they had been bound and they were unbound and walking around. And he said the fourth man was, I know you love this, so go ahead and say
he appears to be as the Son of God.
Yeah, which is amazing, because how would he know what the Son of God looked like?
I mean, he was worshiping Baal.
Yeah.
He wasn't even a believer.
Yeah.
At that point.
So, but he knew.
Right.
So that's...
It was awesome, because awesome. As soon as they came out of that. If you haven't read the story, you need to read the story.
It's in Daniel 3.
Right. But man, it's amazing, because these kids came out and they didn't even smell like smoke. None of their... Nothing was burned on them.
Nothing.
It was like they had this holy shield all around them.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing touched them.
That's
not
right.
Nothing of the fire touched them.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Because God delivered them from the hand.
And that changed the way King Nebuchadnezzar saw them. He made a completely new thing. You just have to go read it.
Yeah.
I'll go off and start talking for hours.
we'll let you go read that one for yourselves.
Absolutely.
But do read it. It's really awesome. All right. Our next example that we saw, that we came up with, was where Peter walked on the water. And this is Matthew 14:27-32.
Right. Now, we're not going to read it, but we encourage you to go out there and read it yourself. So Matthew 14:27-32. And it's amazing, because, Peter had seen all these miracles.
Uh-huh. He had actually performed miracles.
Yeah.
Because Jesus had sent the 12 out, the 12 disciples out, and he said, heal the sick, lay hands on the sick and heal them. And so they did. So Peter had seen all these miracles. He had done these miracles.
Right.
And so when it came time for when Jesus started walking on the water, everyone else was like, oh my gosh, it's a ghost or it's something else or it's terrible. And
Jesus had told him, hey, it's not a ghost. It's just me, guys.
Yeah. He said, don't take courage. Don't be afraid. It is I. And so Peter's like, well, if it's you, tell me to come to you.
Yeah, you know? And I like it, because Peter didn't even give him a choice. He didn't give Jesus a choice. Hey, if it's you, if it really is you, tell me to come to you.
And he said, come. And so Peter's okay, jumps out of the boat,
bold
this
as
water.
A lion again.
Yeah,
right?
And because he had seen the victories in the past.
Right.
He knew what he could do through Jesus. He knew what Jesus could do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he got out of the water, I mean, so he had that faith. If I had victories before, I can, you know, I can walk on this water.
Right.
You know, if it's up to Jesus, but that's Jesus, I'm going to him.
But. He took his eyes off of Jesus, didn't he?
He did.
And when you take your eyes off Jesus, you begin to sink.
That's right.
So he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink in the water. And he freaked out, and Jesus had to grab him. He grabbed him and pulled him back up. And that's the way it is for Jesus. Whenever we are focused on Jesus and we're walking in victory, we can have our, I mean, the devil has so many different ways that he can scheme against us.
That's right.
To get our eyes off of Jesus, and we begin to sink.
That's right.
However, Jesus is always there, no matter how deep we are. We can be completely submerged under the water, 400 feet, and Jesus will say, as soon as we call out for him, he will put his hand out and pull us all the way back up.
Peter, and that's what I was going to say, Peter said, Lord, save me.
Yes.
He cried out. You know, he knew that Jesus would save him. So, but sometimes when we get in those situations like you're talking about, we have to ask. We have to give up trying to do it on our own and say, Lord, save me. You know,
right.
Father, help me.
The thing is, we shouldn't be trying to do anything on our own,
but we
as people, we try to as much as we can. So it's just our human nature. We try to do things on our own financially, spiritually, in everything that we do. But if we will just keep our focus on God, on Jesus, on the Holy Spirit, on heaven, keep our eyes focused off of the circumstances, we will have victory. But if we are having problems in victory, we can always put our eyes back on him and get right back on the path.
That's right. And the best thing to do when you want to rehearse your victories or when you remember them, thank God.
Absolutely.
Praise God and just say, thank you, God, for that. For that victory. Thank you, God, for that miracle. Thank you for this. And you, when you thank God, then you feel this well of
peace.
Yes.
And glory.
And it builds up your faith. I mean, you just, I know I do. When I thank God, it's just like, I just like glow. The Holy Spirit just rises up in me and I just get so happy.
Right.
I just get so joyful.
And yes, I've seen it.
Yes. And you need to thank God for those victories.
Right. It's kind of neat because we were listening on, we had gone to Mardell this morning to pick up some stuff. And on
Which
our
is
way
a
back.
Store.
Right. Mardell's a Christian store. So, but we picked up some stuff. But anyway, on our way back, we were listening to Hawk Nelson.
Which is a band.
Right. And this new album they have out called Diamonds, there's a song on there that says, thank God, and it's called Thank God for Something.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it's about. It's about, they say, if you have a lot or a lot of nothing, go ahead and thank God for something, because you've had something to thank God about.
Yes.
Whether you are in want or whether you are have more than enough, we need to be thanking God for something every single day.
That's right.
You know, and for like, the breath we have.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we say, if you can't think of anything to thank God for, thank him for breathing. You know, just wake up and say, thank you, Lord, that I can breathe today. You know, thank you that I'm alive. Thank
Amen.
You that there's a sun in the sky.
Right. Or thank you for a things. Job. And you may not even like your job.
Yeah.
But if you will do your job for Jesus,
mm-hmm.
if you will do your job unto the Lord,
mm-hmm.
he will bless you for that.
That's right.
You know, it doesn't matter if you like your job or not, but if you will do it under the Lord, not for the other people, but do it for God, and do it to the best of your knowledge or the best of your ability, you will be blessed because of that.
Yes.
And you may wind up, this may wind up being the job you love the most.
That's right.
And they can't tear you away, or God may have something better for you.
Right.
But
just like they said, if you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful in the much,
right.
so
sometimes we just have to prove ourselves that we can handle the little things so that God can trust us with the bigger things.
Just like David. He
Amen.
Could handle the lion. He could handle the bear. He can handle Goliath.
Yep.
So
Amen.
I think that just about wraps us up as far as rehearsing our victories.
Right. So we do hope that this has been a blessing to you guys. And we hope that you guys will share some of your victories with us.
Yes.
So if you would do that, we would appreciate you. Just go to our website at themessengersradio.com and click on the contact button. And you can fill that little form out there, and that will form that whatever you send us right there will go to both Tricia and myself. Or above that, I actually have our individual emails if you want to email one of us individually. And we won't talk about it on the radio if you don't want us to, but we just think it's important that you will rehearse your victories, that you'll share your victories mm-hmm. with anybody, with anybody and everybody that you can.
Yeah.
You can follow us on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com, you can go to /messengersradio. Mm-hmm. The same with Twitter. We're on twitter.com/messengersradio. Mm-hmm. So follow us on those two. We put things up every once in a while. We're not really big social media people.
We got to get better.
Yeah. So we are fixing to start we have a YouTube channel that we've got set up, at least.
That's right.
It's set up. We're starting. And I think we're going to film something today, so it's going to be really neat. I'm excited about putting some stuff up on YouTube. So
one thing I want to mention, too, also, we are doing a production of the Resurrection Sunday. It's a really, really neat thing that God laid on my heart, and I wrote out this play, and we are going to put it together. Marcus is going to put it together.
Yay! I'm excited about it.
So we will have that up by next Sunday.
Hopefully.
That's their goal.
That's our goal.
Be looking for that. It's called The Greatest Day in History.
Yep. All right. So this would not be an end of the Messengers radio program without us giving you, the listener, the choice to receive Jesus as your Savior if you have never done that before. If you have never said these words, if you have never confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that God, that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, people, this is the only way that you're going to make it to heaven. It doesn't matter what you've done, what your lifestyle's like. But when you say this and mean it from your heart, you're going to want to change the things that you are doing and live for God.
That's right.
If you're not, then something's wrong. We got something else to talk about. But choosing to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior is, like I always say, the most important decision that you will ever make in your life.
Yeah.
So we'll look at what God's Word says. In Romans 10:9-10, it says that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And then a little bit further down at Romans 10:13, it says, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
That's right.
So by his grace, God has done everything already to make and provide salvation for you. Your part is to do two things, believe and receive. So if you're ready to change your eternal address right now, I want you to pray this out loud with me. I don't want you just to pray it. I don't want these just to be words that you say. This needs to be from your heart and to really want to make a change.
Yes.
So pray this with me. Jesus, I confess that you are my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. By faith in your word, I receive salvation now. Thank you for saving me. Amen.
Amen.
So, if you have just prayed that, I want you to know that the very moment that you commit your life to Jesus Christ, the truth of his word will instantly come to pass in your spirit. And that means that you are now born again and there is a brand new you. So if you have just prayed that, we want to encourage you to get in touch with us so that we can help you continue to grow. We don't want you just to make that decision and stay stagnant in what you're doing. You need to find you a good Bible-believing church to get involved in,
yes.
to learn from, to learn who you are in Christ and what you can and can't do. Because some of the things in your life that you may be doing now may not be pleasing to God. And he's going to help show you and help you understand better about how to please him.
That's right.
How to do his work for the kingdom. And that's what it's all about.
And we do want to say that just because you're doing something wrong doesn't mean that God's going to get mad at you. If you get born again and you still sin, God's not going to get mad at you until he reveals that this is something that you're not supposed to be doing.
Right. Now, just because you get born again and you sin does not mean that you're going to stop sinning eventually, because we're all sin. I want everybody to understand that.
Right.
We are all sinners, but the fact is, none of us are worthy to be before God.
That's right.
Only through Jesus Christ, his son, are we saved.
Right.
So.
And we can always repent. That's what we need to do.
Right. But we shouldn't be going out there and intentionally sinning, thinking, okay, I can do this. I'm a believer. I'm going to go to heaven. So no matter what I do, I'm going to go to heaven. So I'm just going to do whatever I can.
Right.
You should not be doing that.
Yeah.
So, but you will learn this as you continue to grow and start learning about what the Bible says. So I do pray that you will get started in reading the Bible and grow and learn. Best place to start is John.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yes.
That's about the love of Christ.
Right. And then move on to James. but we want to encourage you guys, continue to read your Bible every day, continue to learn and to grow. And we hope that this this teaching and rehearsing your victories has been a blessing to you today.
That's right.
So you guys have a great one, and we will see you next, or talk to you next episode.
That's right. We love you guys.
Oh, check us out on YouTube soon. I will post the video soon and put something up on the website.
Do you know what the YouTube channel is?
Of course not. Okay. I forgot. I think it's The Messengers Radio, but I'll make sure later.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Messengers today. We hope this episode has been a blessing to you and it's encouraged you to go out and read the Bible to find out who you are and what the Bible says about you. You can join us on our website at www.themessengersradio.com for previous episodes. You can also join us on Facebook and Twitter. Simply look for Messengers Radio.